Welcome. My name is Sophie Schultz, and I'd like to introduce Dr. Rosalie A. Turton, who is currently the coordinator of the Columbian Monument Foundation. She works with John Hofart in Washington, New Jersey, and edits the newsletter Fatima Calling. She has studied at Buffalo State College, Syracuse University, Cornell University, and has her doctorate in education from the State University of New York at Buffalo. The Columbian Monument Foundation is endeavoring to build an American Shrine of Thanksgiving to God in honor of the bringing of Christianity to the Americas by Christopher Columbus in 1492. The organization has three possible land sites, but is still looking for one which may be more suitable. The edifice will be 10 stories high, all stained glass, and will be called the Santa Maria Monument and Shrine of Thanksgiving. A replica of the Santa Maria ship will be moored next to the shrine. Anyone knowing of some available land or interested in more information about the project can contact Dr. Turton. A painting titled The Roman Catholic Heritage of the Americas was presented to the Holy Father on one of his recent visits here, and while compiling the research for the painting, she was able to locate a great many references to the Immaculate Conception relating to the New World. Prints are available of the painting along with a 40-page explanation booklet. It is Dr. Turton's hope that this material will be in every Catholic school in the Americas, so rich is its spiritual and historical content. Now, Dr. Turton and the Immaculate Conception in the History of the Americas. Welcome.
When we were planning to build the shrine, we were working on it. One of the things we were thinking of doing was to give a painting to the Pope. So I went to see the artist, and we commissioned the professional artist to make a painting. And I said, put many, many different pictures of Our Lady in the center of the painting, because I can imagine, I have found research where every statue of Our Lady does relate somehow to Christopher Columbus, with it, Lady of Perpetual Help, and Lady of Fatima, Lady of Guadalupe. So she started to paint it, and she put in the center of the painting a painting of Our Lady of Fatima, because she believed I was affiliated with the Blue Army, and that's what I would want. My confessor went to see her and said, Rosalie doesn't want Our Lady of Fatima in the center of the painting. She wants Our Lady of Guadalupe, because Our Lady of Guadalupe is the mother of the Americas. So when I saw it for the first time, this is the print of the picture. That's a photograph of the picture that we had given to the Pope with Our Lady of Guadalupe in the center, and all around it are the North and South American blessed, holy people, significant religious individuals in the Roman Catholic heritage. Then we took a print, not the original, but a print, and then we took it to a photographer and had it enlarged. So what you're going to see here is the sign we give to the Pope. But it was taken, it was made from the original. This is a scrap, just a photograph. And while I was doing the history on this research of everybody that was in the painting, over and over again, I kept coming up with information about the Immaculate Conception. So when I was asked to speak at this conference, it felt like it would be a very appropriate topic. Now, you may be aware that Wadsworth said of Our Lady, she's our tainted nature's one solitary boast. At Fatima 1917, Our Lady said, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart, promising to save it by this means. I think it can be said that when we refer to the Immaculate Heart, we can reasonably understand its relationship to the Immaculate Conception. The common word is immaculate. Here we are in the home of the Militia of the Immaculata, devotion to the total Mary. An Immaculate Conception provides an Immaculate Heart, and an Immaculate Heart requires an Immaculate Conception. The Miraculous Medal, if you remember, has on one side the inscription, I am the Immaculate Conception, and the other side the images
of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. Scripture tells us, and I shall put enmity between thee and the woman. Let us consider for a moment the word enmity. When you think of a magnet, you think of something that draws. Enmity is just the opposite, something that pushes away. And between Satan and Our Lady, there is enmity. The forces of good and evil can never come together. They are in diametrical opposition to each other. As Satan is the master of deceit, Mary is the mistress of truth. As he is every fault and stain, she must thus be perfection and immaculate. To follow her is to be like her. The word disciple means discipline. We must discipline ourselves and our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls to be like hers. And when that is happening, and only then, will we have the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. Now, she promised it will come. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart means that we conquer ourselves, that we discipline ourselves. In Volume 2, Poem of a God-Man, I don't know if any of Man-God, written by Maria Della Torte, very fantastic book. There are 5 volumes, and I see it on sale down. It's very expensive. It's, I believe it's $35 a volume. It's wonderful. And I was just reading one segment, and it came to my mind, and a woman is asking Jesus, where is the soul? Is it in the mind, or is it in the heart? And as I read this, I thought about that myself. I've often wondered, where is the soul? You know, when we receive communion, does it go right to our heart? Does it? Where is it? Maybe you've thought about that yourself. His answer was, what do you think? Think about that a minute. His answer was, it's in the total being, the total self. Every part of the body contains the soul. It was a good question. And then he said, when the soul leaves the body, all we have left is a corpse. So too, Mary is immaculate throughout her body. We can't say the immaculate hand or the immaculate lips. It's every part of her is immaculate. And having our country dedicated to her immaculate conception means that we too must dedicate ourselves to her and be her disciples. In disciplining ourselves, our mind, our body, our soul, and fashioning ourselves after her likelihood and behavior. This requires a love of God, purity, humility, kindness, industry, honesty, prayerfulness within each one of us. Maximilian Kolbe had a little verse, and I read this and I really liked it. He said, love the Immaculata, love the Immaculata, love the Immaculata. She will make you happy. Confide in her. Consecrate yourself to her entirely and unreservedly. I wish that you would love her so much as to be incapable of living without her. Try to do everything as she herself would do it, especially in loving God the way she loves him. But that you can learn only on your knees. When we try to do everything as Mary does it, then will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And only then is the dedication of our country and ourselves to her Immaculate Conception really sincere. Only then will it bear forth the great fruit that this dedication implies. We, each one of us here, are the nucleus. And like a growing cell, we must swell and divide and bring others to Mary. That is why she has chosen us. That is why we have the grace of being here at this particular conference. We're special children of Mary. Mother Cabrini once told her tired sisters, and I suppose all the nuns, all the priests get very tired. There's a great demand on them right now. And one sister came to her and said, oh, Mother, I'm so tired. And Mother Cabrini smiled and said, it's all right, work now. You can rest in heaven. And that's what we're called to do. Do it. Start with our own prayers, be constant, and then bring others to Mary. Now, I'd like to, at this moment, go back and trace a bit of how much America belongs to Mary through her Immaculate Conception throughout our history. And I can't begin in 1492, when Columbus discovered America, because really the formulation of Christianity in the Americas began much earlier with our ancestors. I'll mention 1337, and it was the time when the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, you asked me about Guadalupe, when the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Spain was first started. They had found a little statue, and it was called Hidden River. The name of the, Guadalupe means hidden river. And in those days, the river was a source of great graces. Then in 1400, the Spanish and the Portuguese explorers early on were deeply devoted to the Immaculate Conception. When they sailed, they carried everywhere a banner and devotion to La Purísima, the Immaculate One, the Pure One. 1492, October 12th, is the day that Columbus landed. And it was the very day in Spain that the king and the cardinal crowned at Guadalupe Our Lady, calling her Queen of Spain and Queen of all her territories. That was the day that Columbus landed, and this was the territory then of Spain. In 1492, at the same time, the first island which Columbus discovered, he named San Salvador, or Holy Savior. But 2 days later, he sailed a second time, and he named that island Santa Maria de la Concepcion, or Holy Mary of the Immaculate Conception. That island is now called Conception Island. Then in 1493, Columbus's second voyage, he placed it under the protection of the Immaculate Conception. They say his mortal remains today rest in either Santo Domingo or in the Cathedral of Havana in the chapel of the Immaculate Conception. As I will keep talking, you're going to hear Immaculate Conception so many times, and you're going to say, I'm amazed to know that our country really is that involved with that particular phenomenon of Our Lady. But over and over again, I kept finding it. In 1528, December 6th, just before the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Archbishop Juan de Zumagara arrived as the second bishop of New Spain, which we now know as Mexico. And he consecrated all the lands of the Americas, all the lands of the Americas, to the Immaculate Virgin. He wrote to Cortez, I wish all the lands of this continent to be consecrated to Mary's Immaculate Conception. 1531. It is interesting to note that in the 8th century, the Eastern Church celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on December 9th, not December 8th. 39 years after Columbus discovered America, Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego in Mexico City for the first time. There were four appearances. For the first time on December 9th, 1531. She also appeared to his uncle, Juan Bernardino, identifying herself as Te Guadalupe. The Spanish thought it was De Guadalupe. Te Guadalupe in the Aztec language meant, I am the Immaculate Conception, she who crushes the head of the serpent. A letter was written by Bishop Zumagara mentioning those words, yet most people do not realize that Mary identified herself in Guadalupe as the Immaculate Conception. I constantly have to defend this. I even brought books with me, three books, because people say, well, Rosalie, we never heard that Our Lady of Guadalupe was the Immaculate Conception. And I say, check the handbook on Guadalupe by Marytown Press, page 20, and check Am I Not Here, page 88, and check La Conquistador, page 44, as well as researchers such as Father Francis P. Marina Kervas, S.J., and Helen Burins and her collaborators. They all tell you that she told Juan Bernardino she was the Immaculate Conception, or the Immaculate Virgin, the lady who crushed the head of the serpent. Perhaps that fact is a revelation for our time. Then in 1617, as we go on, there was a wonderful woman by the name of Venerable Mary of Jesus of Agreda. I don't know if you've read The Mystical City of God. Sister is smiling. It's a wonderful book. It's in four volumes. I bought the first volume condensed, and I had to have all four of them after that. Another expensive set, about $50. But it's the auto, it's, well, I should say autobiography, but it's the biography of Our Lady, because it was given in dictation to Mary of Agreda. And at one time she destroyed the whole volume except one section of it, which she gave to King Philip. And then her confessor told her, rewrite that. And she rewrote it word for word. And when they matched it with King Philip's copy, it was identically the same. She was a Franciscan nun, but she wore blue. And in just a moment, I'll tell you why Franciscans at that time wore blue habits. But at that time, and she became a nun at the age of 15, and she went into the convent of the Immaculate Conception. At that time, she was also, this is a wonderful woman, because she bilocated into the Americas over 500 times, teaching the Indians our Catholic faith. And it's so funny, because the Indians would be coming to the bishop, and he'd say, how do these people know the religion? How do they know the Catholic faith? And they would say, the lady in blue taught us. Now, it was such a mystery that the bishop assigned Fray Alonso de Belvidas, custodian of the missionaries of New Spain, to find this mysterious woman. And he sought in vain for 8 years looking for the mysterious lady in blue. Then he went to Spain and was talking to a priest who happened to be Mary Agreda's confessor. And he knew about these bilocations. In fact, as I said, she bilocated over 500 times. She was even martyred. She died twice. In one of her bilocations, she came to the Americas, and she was tortured, and her skin was flayed, and she was horribly mutilated, and died. And yet she died again back in Spain, a normal death. She was very, the reason she wore blue is she was very much in favor. She petitioned the Holy See for 2 points, which are defeated in our time. But one of the points was the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin. Remember, this was in the 1617. And the other was the infallibility of the sovereign pontiff. Then in 1617, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was promulgated in the Spanish kingdoms, and many Franciscans, including Mary of Agreda, began to wear blue habits. And gifted artists began painting, scores of paintings on the Immaculate Conception. And some of them are now famous, such as those by Murillo. 1620, the Confraternity of the Immaculate Conception was established in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it still exists there today. They have a miraculous statue over 3.5 centuries old, brought from Mexico, called La Conquistador, or She Who Conquers. Isn't that really the Immaculate Conception? She Who Conquers, the head of the serpent. In 1634, English Catholics caused the New World to, they came to Maryland and they called it Mary's Land. We call it Maryland, but it was called Mary's Land. And the first Mass was said in the New World there in St. Clement's Island on the Feast of the Annunciation. St. Clement's Island is one of the areas I mentioned briefly that we want to build a shrine.
The picture of the shrine is glass structure, 10 stories high, all stained glass.
There'd be nothing quite like it in the world. We want to honor Christopher Columbus for his bringing of the discoveries We honor Christopher Columbus for discovering America and bringing Christianity to the Americas. We have a site of land in Florida, in the Keys, in Tavernier, and it was really a $2 million piece of land, a beautiful piece of land with the ocean on one side and the Gulf on the other. And the problem was that there were strings attached to the land, and we couldn't get an agreement between the bishop and the land donor. And because the land donor was the president of the foundation, we couldn't look for other land. But just last year in July, he resigned. We have a new board. Now we have several sites. Another site that I looked at just this week is a Franciscan site in near Watkins Glen in Elmira, New York. Now, I'm not sure which site we're going to choose, and we might find another one yet. There's another section in Tampa, Florida, and a third one near St. Clement's Island in Maryland. Then in 1673, Father Jacques Marquette accompanied another explorer, Joliet, down the Mississippi. to the mouth of the Arkansas River, making careful notes as well as maps in his diary, which proved to be of great historical value. He named that river, we call it the Mississippi, he named it River of the Immaculate Conception. Unfortunately, the name was changed. In 1756, Pope Benedict IV publicly referred to Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, as the Blessed Mary, Immaculate of Guadalupe. This was over 100 years before the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was declared. In 1802, Archbishop John Carroll came to the United States. He was the first bishop of Baltimore, and his diocese was the United States, the entire United States. And he immediately put the United States, his diocese, under the protection of the Immaculate Virgin. There are four visions of the Immaculate Heart that happened rather quickly in succession, three of them in France and one of them in the United States. In 1830, Catherine Laboure at Rue de la Bac. 1836, Our Lady of Victories in France. In 1840, Balanguet, France. This is where the green scapular was given out. And in 1841, Father de Smet in Bitterroot, Montana. One of his Indian boys saw Our Lady with the Immaculate Heart. One of the things I've done with this picture, and I'm going to step away from it. Reproduced with it a sheet to tell who is on this painting. There's numbers. So that if you see someone, you want to know that's Columbus, or that's Father Hennepin, or there's Captain Secretisa, or there's one of them, Mother Pink and Mother Cabrini. And you see, when the artist painted these, she actually had photographs of all the saints. And she put all of these individuals who were historically significant into the painting. We have 85 individuals, and there's a paragraph on each one. So if someone says, who is that? Rosa Lima, Martin Couture, or there's Juan Diego, and there's Tilma, and there's Guadalupe. The information is in here, and this is about 25 pages. And then we have another 20 pages of an addendum of 500 names, and it tells who they are, one-liners, about what they did, the date of birth, date of death, and date of canonization. And for those of you that came in a little later and didn't hear the introduction, it's my hope that eventually this print and this write-up will be in every Catholic school in this country. Because when you ask people, who are the Roman Catholic saints? And they'll stop to think a minute. And they'll say, well, Mother Cabrini, and Mother Seton, and Bishop Newman. Maybe they'll mention five or six, and then they're lost. And many of these are saints, many are blessed, many are venerable, and many are just very, very important people. But there are more than you think. So it's sort of like a compendium of information about these saints. And I stopped right at that moment. I started talking about Father de Smet. We wrote about him, and we wrote about 16 apparitions of Our Lady in the Americas. 16. And I was talking to Shirley before, and she said that she had just come from Our Lady of Consolation, and there was another apparition or something that happened there, and I said, I'd like to get all of this information, because we put this material on a computer, and we can constantly update it and add more, so that when people send for the information, we send them a copy of the print, then we send them the history of the Americas, the Roman Catholic people in the Americas. Then we come to 1846, and it was at the 6th Provincial Council in Baltimore. In May, the bishops unanimously chose the Blessed Virgin Mary, conceived without sin, as the patroness of the United States. They said, to Our Lady in her Immaculate Conception, we dedicate ourselves and all the souls of the Americas. So each one of us is truly dedicated to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. This, incidentally, is a little piece that we have done, because the man that's doing this particular building, Conrad Cattell, he's one of the leading stained glass artists in the world, and it's going to be dome-shaped,
Later on, I can show you some pictures and so forth.
Okay. Now, this is not so much related to the Americas, but in, just for point of information, in 1854, we finally had the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. And then in 1858, 4 years later, we had little Bernadette Soubirous see Our Lady at Lourdes and identify herself as the Immaculate Conception. Then in 1915, the Vincentian Fathers came to Germantown, Philadelphia, and established the central medal of the central association of the miraculous medal, and they widely distributed a medal having the inscription, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In 1930, May 30th, a locution to Jesus, of Jesus to Lucia. Many people don't realize that at Fatima, there was some relationship to the Immaculate Conception. They know of the Immaculate Heart, and they know of the six visions of Our Lady and the three of the angels. Can you think of when at Fatima, I just told you the date, but can you think of a time when something at Fatima was referred to the Immaculate Conception? Well, it happened. The bishop said to Lucia, ask Jesus, why 5 first Saturdays? I mean, there are 9 first Fridays. Why 5 first Saturdays? So in prayer, she spoke to our Lord, and he told her that the reason there are 5 first Saturdays is to make up for the blasphemies against Our Lady. The main offenses against Our Lady, and the first one was against her Immaculate Conception. So the first Saturday of the month is, the first of the 5 Saturdays is for making up for people who doubt her Immaculate Conception. Do you know the other 4? Yes, those who deny that she's the Mother of God. To make up for those who do not venerate her holy images. Another one is for those who do not declare her as their own mother and bring children to Mary. She wants children brought to her. And the last one is against her constant virginity. Those are the 5 reasons for the 5 first Saturdays. So our Lord did say to Lucia, the reason for the first day of reparation on the first Saturday was to make reparation for the sins against or disbelief of her Immaculate Conception. So once again, it turns up in our history. Then in 1933, we had the beatification of Catherine Labouré. And because of the miraculous medal, 2 ecclesiastical champions declared, the cause of Catherine Labouré is the cause of the Immaculate Conception. In 1949, was the beginning of apparitions to Sister Mildred Mary, a Benedictine contemplative of Fostoria, Ohio. These particular apparitions were approved by her spiritual director of 32 years, Archbishop Paul Liebold. And she requests a prayer to be said, a certain picture of Mary to be displayed, and a medal with the inscription and prayer, by your holy and immaculate conception, O Mary, deliver us from evil. And on the back of that particular medal are also the heart of Mary and the heart of Jesus pierced by a sword. Her title is Our Lady of the Americas. In 1946, December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, a priest by the name of Monsignor Harold Colgan was taken to the hospital very, very ill. They said to him, you'll probably be dead in a week, but if you last, you might go a few months, but you will never come out alive. And because it was the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, he prayed very hard to Mary, and he said, Mother, if you help me regain my strength and my health, I will dedicate myself totally to you for the rest of my life. I will preach the Fatima message and your Immaculate Heart. Within a week, he was totally cured, and he kept his promise. He went into his parish, and he told the people what happened, that it was a miracle. On the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, he was ill. He received the total healing, and now he's going to consecrate himself to devotion to Mary and spreading her Fatima message. He said, I want every one of you, those of you who want to help me and devote yourself to love of Mary, to come in here next Sunday and wear something blue, a blue hat or a blue tie or a blue scarf or a blue blouse, something blue. And he says, I'll know that you then belong to Our Lady.